Welcome back to the Empath and Narcissist Podcast, where I share messages about spiritual healing from narcissistic abuse with human design. Because I believe your karmic experience has awakened you to your authentic soul. You just need the map to call your power back. I am your host, Raven Scott, and I'm an author and trauma-informed spiritual mentor. Today on this episode, we are talking with Dr. Esther Zeledon. She is amazing. What you're going to hear in this episode is self-awareness. We talked mainly about boundaries, as the title describes. We talked about how to actually determine if you should draw a boundary, first of all, which I think is the first step. We talked about black and white mindset and how that is a huge red flag, and you're probably dealing with a narcissist or toxic person. We talked about practicing alignment, the energy, and the inner authority in human design on how to understand you need to draw boundaries, and then how to draw boundaries. What are some phrases, some practical, actionable ways to say no to somebody, either if it's a work relationship, if it's a family or a romantic relationship, or even a bestie? It was a really great conversation. I truly enjoyed Dr. Zeledon. And Dr. Z is a renowned mental health expert. She brings a wealth of experience and compassion to her work. She truly does. With a PhD, including elements of psychology, she specializes in empowering individuals to overcome challenges and lead fulfilling lives. Dr. Z strives to make mental wellness accessible and transformative for everyone she encounters. She is the author of Creating Your Limitless Life, and I truly enjoyed reading her book. It's amazing. It's a great little short read workbook. It doesn't take a lot of time out of your day. And I really, truly love the powerful impact of her book. So without further ado, let's get into this conversation with Dr. Z. Hello, Dr. Z. Nice to have you here.
Nice to be here. I'm really excited.
Do you like to be called Dr. Z, or do you like to be called, like, your name, Esther?
Either one. I like Dr. Z, Dr. Easy, Esther. Completely flexible.
Ooh, Dr. Easy. I like that one, too. Nice. Gosh, so we're going to dive into some boundaries today. And the reason that I pulled this up, and you all heard in my intro that she's the author of Creating Your Limitless Life, we're going to be talking more about boundaries. This is like a really hot topic. We all understand that we need to do this now because we're now aware of the narcissist out there in our lives, or this real aha moment. I'd love to ask you just a relatable question. Like, you were listening to one of my episodes we were talking about, you know, pre-record chat, and this whole black and white mindset. You, like, when you don't really realize you're dealing with a narcissist, you kind of don't put two and two together. Can you expand more on that and share with us, like, your thoughts on not even knowing you're dealing with a narcissist?
Exactly. You know, and I mean, I relate this on a personal experience, but also, you know, with the people I work with, it's just, you just assume it's just a type of fixed mindset. And you're like, oh, that person just needs to transition. You know, especially, like, you know, in my way, I always reason things academically. I'm like, that person just needs to transition from a fixed growth mindset. But the truth is that, you know, is when you're talking about it, not everyone is going to transition to that. And not only, and you don't put the two and two together that, oh my God, they have the traits of a narcissist, right? You as, especially as someone, if you're into growth, you're into people pleasing, you're an empath, you're always like, that person will grow. I'll be able to, you know, fix them, or I'll be able to show them the light. And so you kind of ignore that really critical sign. But there's a difference between fixed mindset and growth. And you kind of see that going in, right? There's people that you can see if they're willing to even think about it and reflect on it maybe a day or two later. But the narcissist doesn't. They stay that way. But then it takes us a long time to analyze, like, wait, did they change over time? Have they even practiced the growth? Why haven't I put the two and two together that they've just stayed fixed and they've just stayed in that black and white sense? Yeah. So I loved that about your episode, because I wish that's such, like, a critical point that I wish even younger I would have put the two and two together and realized that, yeah, people can still be in a fixed mindset, but it's very different when they're people willing to grow and change and be open than people who stay in that black and white, and then also use those other characteristics that you talked about, right? Emotional abuse, throwing your vulnerabilities in your face, right? The judgment that comes with it. Yeah, all those things.
Just a reminder, this podcast is for educational purposes only and is not a substitute for professional help. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Narcissists can drive you into such a mentally exhausted and deep depressive state that you can start to develop unhealthy coping mechanisms. I've been there. I tried to drown myself in alcohol. And when I left my narcissist, I found talk therapy to be extremely beneficial for me to process and identify that I was being abused. If you are having any thoughts of self-harm or life is meaningless, then I strongly recommend that you reach out for help and speak to a professional. This is why I specifically chose, out of all the sponsors, BetterHelp. BetterHelp offers licensed therapists who are trained to listen and help you. It allows you to talk to your therapist in a private online environment at your convenience. Finding a therapist is easy. Just fill out the questionnaire to help assess your specific needs. And then you are matched with a therapist in under 48 hours. Everything Yushi. Join the 3 million plus people who have taken charge of their mental health with an experienced BetterHelp therapist. Get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/empath. The link is in the show notes. Yeah, it's like a mixed soup. It's like a recipe. But when we're in it, it can be so easy to be manipulated or just kind of in the fog. Like, is this really happening? And they are experts at making you think, well, yeah, this is totally your fault. So you need to do more introspection. And since empaths are experts at that, they play on that.
Exactly. And then we try to think that we need to fix ourselves. Right. Because we're like, oh, wait, they're putting out our vulnerability. Oh, they're right. Then it's our fault. Oh, we need to do this more, do that more. And then we get spun in that cycle without like looking at the bigger picture of, wait, what are we in? Wait, why isn't this person championing me? Because a person who, and I love that about, you know, your podcast now too, and where you are, right? Because when you're actually with someone who champions you and grows with you, they're growing, they're championing you. They tell you the positive things about you, the great things about you as well. They're not trying to put you down. But in that moment, you just focus so much on, oh my God, I have all these things that I need to fix and do. And until then I can't really do anything about the situation I'm in. But it's all part of their tactic. And then of course, part of their tactic too, is that they show you a very different side and they show the public as well. And so then you're also spinning on, wait, it's that gaslighting, it's the change of narratives, it's the spinning in public on who they are. And then you start to feel that maybe there is something wrong with me because no one else can see it. And so it's a whole spiral.
I really love that you brought that up, because that is, especially with covert narcissists, I find is that's the most insane crazy making, is that they're very cunning about how they cut you down in private, and they're very cunning about how they do not take on responsibility, but at the same time they're like this perfect saint to everyone else or in other relationships. And so you do start to think, well, it just must be me, like I must be broken and everyone else is fine. And that's totally not the case. That's just their expert manipulation.
Exactly. And that's like the thing in, you know, and my healing was really through what I talk about in my book, was finding my own, valuing my own uniqueness, my own purpose, understanding what I've overcome and all those aspects, because then realizing that actually the things to work on are not negative, right? They're a part of you, that the good thing that comes with your purpose also comes with things you've overcome. And also valuing authenticity, right? And that's when you realize that when the narcissist is playing different personalities outside and inside, you're like, wait, that person's not being completely authentic. And it allows you to be like, wait, red flag. Because if that person's not showing who they are at the same or saying the same conversations, then they're not really being who they are completely. But it's a process, right? And first you have to value yourself and what you bring to the table, and that helps you put your alert, right? And realize and flag these type of personalities, because they're going to come after the empaths, right? They come after the people who are the people pleasers, because we're easy targets, because we want to help, we want to make things better, and we also want to grow ourselves. So when we take this type of feedback, we're like, okay, yes, I'll do better. I will do this. I'll do that. And so they gravitate to us. So we have to really own who we are, our value, and also like look out for people who are not being authentic 100% of the time. Say, wait, red flag. And then also be like, wait, what's the legacies? When someone's really a partner with you, they want to know what kind of legacy you want to build in your life and the vision for your future. You want to do that together. It's not a one-way future and your future being wrong or right. No, because all of us have this unique legacy, this unique purpose. And that's like another filter that you can create and be like, this person doesn't care about my legacy, my future, and it's all about them. Red flag, let me step away from that. Narcissist or not, step away.
Yeah. Yeah. Toxic narcissist. We don't have to diagnose anybody. It's like, if that's not in alignment, then there really is no need to invest further in that, especially a romantic relationship.
Exactly.
Yes. And
but
go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say even parent, even family, right? If they're not supporting your aspirations and they're just putting it down, then that's where the boundary conversation and limit conversation comes, right? Because sometimes your family's not going to be supporting that. Sometimes the people close to you are not, but you can create community. You can have champions outside of what society says those people should be and where they should be.
Yeah. And I heard or saw a quote regarding family. It was something like, you know, I see you. It was like this gal coach who does essentially you reparenting yourself from toxic parents, but I see you. Those of you who your parents never really put the effort into learning who you are, right? We're all unique. We all have something, like you said, a unique legacy. And some of people, especially if you've experienced a narcissistic partner, it is common, not always, but it can be common where your parent also, there is some type of toxic parental influence. And it just hit my heart, like, yeah, like they don't really invest in learning about who you are away from them, right? Because with a narcissistic parent, the child is an extension of them. They're not unique. They're not this. They may say you are, you know, they may say that you really want them to, you know, you can excel in whatever you want. That's probably a more covert parent, but they're not really able to or want to or desire to learn, especially if you are more like the quote unquote black sheep. You're different. You're completely different than their ideologies. Then they don't really care to. It feels very much like an abandonment because they don't really care to learn about you.
Exactly. And then they also are just putting their own purpose and what they want onto you. And that's it. You're just the one to execute it. And that's all that matters. I mean, I grew up feeling not seen as well, but it was just about, I need to achieve and fix whatever problem was going on. And that's it. And that was my role. And I think it's not until now that they actually have more of an idea who I am. And my, even personally, like my husband went through that too. He, you know, he has a narcissist mother, and it was really hard for him because he always felt like the black sheep, didn't belong, different things, but she never wanted to come 50-50, ever got to know him or anything. And so for him, he always talked about wanting in a partnership was wanting a home, and home, not in a physical sense, but home in an emotional sense of an acceptance, of relatability, of belonging.
Yeah. It's got chills listening to that, because that is what all of us humans desire. And when you don't get that in your foundation, it's a really rough, rocky road to find that, because you may encounter a narcissistic abusive partner thinking, right, in the comfortable subconscious patterns, like, oh, this is just how love is. This is your next step to defeating the narcissist. Learn how to master your boundaries, how to release responsibility for another's emotional response. how to feel the power of your self-sovereignty, free yourself from narcissistic abuse, and draw long-lasting, powerful boundaries. Get your free How Empaths Can Draw Powerful Boundaries workshop now at ravenscott.show/free-workshop.
Yep, and that's what happened to him. Then he went into a relationship that way, and it's a mirror because that's how you're used to functioning, right? And your role. And it's tough. It's tough then to get out of those patterns. And then once you actually enter a relationship that's not that way, then you reflect on your life and then you have to grieve your life. I think we don't talk about that also about the, I know you do, which I love, but like, it's also like a grieving of who you past were and also letting go of the, like beating yourself up of going, how did I not see the signs? How did I not know? How did I let like 2 decades of my life go by? All this regret. But the thing is that you just didn't have the information. And what matters is that you're pushing through, that you're valuing who you are now, right? Your uniqueness, that you're not going to let it happen again, you know? And that's, I think, an essential part of this conversation, right? Like, you know, it was one of the things that I always saw missing in purpose conversations. You know, everyone talked about, okay, here's some questions, but it was very vague, you know? And I was like, no, we need to go really deep into the purpose questions. But one thing that I saw was missing was the conversation of what you've overcome and how. Because most of us, like for me, since I have that people-pleasing tendency, I've stayed in things way too long when I shouldn't. I also want to accommodate all the time. And I also I am people who do have that type of like abuse or personality are come gravitate to me. And not even this now, even with like clients, I have to be very mindful of when people approach me that I'm like, wait, what have I overcome? These are the things. What did I feel then right before I entered those situations? I felt something. What was it? What happened? And did I regret going into those things? Yes. Did I know that? Did I feel something beforehand? Yes. So let me write it down. And that way I'm aware. So now like when I feel that immediately in like a discovery call, anything with someone, I'm like, I don't, you know what? I can refer to you as someone else. I can't. But that's the work that has to come in, is that has to be part of our daily routine. And that's what I saw like a key part. Like we didn't talk about that resilience. We didn't talk about how are we going to incorporate in our everyday, not just filtering, you know, okay, I'm going to try to look at the signs of a person, but also trusting what we felt and what happened to us in the past, right? Because we're going to keep overcoming what we're overcoming because we're not going to stop being empaths. We're not going to stop caring about folks, right? That's who we are, but we can put filters. We can listen to our bodies and all the signs and our nervous system that is telling us, do not enter this. This is not safe for you. And we can write it down, be self-aware and not enter it at all and be okay with that. And of course, it's uncomfortable. Even now when I say no, and I put those boundary limits, right? And there's a little different, right? I put the limit. Some folks have just, it's a no, it's a limit. I still feel uncomfortable as an empath because I know I can help them. And that's the hardest part is like, I know I can help them. I know I can give them a solution, but that doesn't mean I have to.
Yes.
And yeah.
Oh, excuse me. So that was exactly like I wrote down first step, self-awareness. Like boundaries are nothing if you don't know when and how to draw the boundary. And a quote from your book, because you were saying that, I was like, this is it. This is what I remember from her book, is saying yes when you feel no isn't just self-betrayal. It's unkind to both you and the other person.
Exactly.
So keep in mind that next time you're tempted or guilted into saying yes, like you just said, oh, I could help them. I could give them something. Just remember that it's a self-betrayal to you and it doesn't help them either.
No, because during the whole experience, you don't want to be there, you know, and I think I give some examples, even simple things like someone wants you to go play tennis. Maybe you enjoy playing tennis by yourself. They see that you're great. And they're like, can you come teach me and play tennis? And in your mind, you're like, I don't like teaching tennis. But you're like, I can help them. I could show them. So I'm going to say yes. But think about it. It's a betrayal. They can go to someone else who loves teaching, who that's how they want to show up.
Or like, especially they'll ask you when you do it for free because you're a friend, like, or someone
That
who
too.
actually is does it as a job. Like, there's an actual exchange there.
Exactly. And they'll value it more, right? But there's actually already all these other people who love showing up that way, who can give that service. It doesn't have to be you. And they are going to enjoy that process and that exchange. And that's the part that I mean, that it's not fair to them and it's not fair to you, because you're not really enjoying that exchange at all, right?
That's
You're
so
just doing it.
interesting, the feeling, because I just had a really strange scenario happen in my other business. I also help people design their homes. And at first, we really clicked on the phone. And I was like, oh, yeah, like it's easy, it's no problem. Like she's like, oh, wow, you only charge that. And which maybe was my first red flag. But, anyways, I went and the first meeting was fine. It didn't feel bad, but it felt off. It was like, I can't put my finger on exactly what she's trying to achieve here. I see her space, but what style? What is she? And I was so kind and I wasn't like digging more and I wasn't being assertive enough. Like that's my hindsight of thinking back on it. And the whole project just went to hell in a handbasket and I had to refund her what for the time that was left because she was just like, thought it'd be easier, and I felt like there was such a huge energetic block there that maybe she didn't want to change it because I just couldn't get the information I needed from her. And typically, I can literally channel. I don't have to ask a lot of questions from other people, and I just present them. They're like, "Oh my gosh, this is amazing!" But for her, I was like, every single time I'd present her something, she didn't like it. So I should have gone with that weird, unsettled
Exactly. And you felt it. But then our problem is that we want the full clarity right away as to why I'm going to keep in it. This is why the overcoming is so key, right? I'm going to stay in it longer than I should to figure that out and unpack it, when it's also coming to the realization we don't have to stay in it and figure it out. The minute it feels off, it's off. And I felt that way too. I had a similar thing. I had a client exploration and I came home and I told my husband there was nothing wrong, but I felt off. And he's like, don't take her. Don't take her. And I was like, but maybe I should. He's like, don't take her. He's like, remember, we've done
Remember?
the purpose on the overcoming. He's like, it doesn't matter what it is. If it's off, that means it's always going to be off. And luckily, I was already like, you know what? I can refer to you someone else, you know, I started the text message, and already in that moment to send a text message, I got like 5 voice notes from the person. And I was like, oh, wow, this is already my sign. This is so good. And you know, and I sent it, but it was that, it's just trusting if it's off, it's off. And it's hard though, because it's not something tangible that we can put in, but that's why that exercise of going, what you do have tangible, is going through that exercise in your past of what did you feel? Like you said, that self-awareness, what was that thing that warned you? Nervous system, psychological, you know, sometimes we can't pinpoint it till later and remember that feeling, because you already know, right? We might not be able to process why. Like for you, I'm sure it was that she wasn't clear, and your bodies were like, she's not going to be clear, but it's hard to put it tangible at that moment.
That's so true. And I'm hearing a few other people that I've spoken to about like when they're in relationships with someone, they're like, he's nice, but I just don't know. Like it was nice, and you can explain out all of the social behaviors or he or she, and then it's like, but there was just something off, but I should give it a chance because right, it's like that seems to be like the world mantra is like give love a chance. It's like don't do it.
No, especially if that feeling was there before and it didn't go right, it's there. It's there. Life is telling you. And also, your body remembers your responses over time. That's why I like that exercise. Your body remembers. So it's coming up again for safety to remind you. And we have to take that practice of listening to it and processing it, and not having, and this is the hardest part, of knowing all the why in that moment. Later, it will come through, and other opportunities that energetically align. When things energetically align, and especially as you practice more alignment, you realize how amazing it feels. So then it's also like, why am I settling less for that amazing thing, whether it's in business, life, and partnership? But it's when we're always in this second, not full alignment, we settle for these partial. And it's like, let's get out of that scarcity mindset into abundance mindset and go into things that feel great. Because when things feel great in business life, partnerships, they're great. You don't have to settle for this half.
Yes, exactly. And I'm gonna share. Oops, did you hear that come through? Okay,
No.
well, I'll edit that part out. There was like an alert that went through my headphones. So practicing alignment, I'm gonna share with you listening how I love to practice alignment. It's through human design because we've been talking a lot about listening to your intuition.
Yep.
And honestly, human design gives you your energetic way, because I love how you're saying energetic, like it feels. Human design tells you this is, you were born at this time and day. You have this particular energetic way of listening to your intuition and practicing that alignment. So for most of you, it's going to be the emotional inner authority. So very similar to what Dr. Z is saying is like, listen to the past, feel through the process, and never give a commitment right away. If you have that emotional inner authority, feel through the highs, the excitements, the neutral, the lows, and then back to the neutral. And that's where you're going to find the clarity. And sometimes it is self-projected, and sometimes even through your emotional process, you're talking to a partner or someone who reminds you, remember, that didn't go well. Like, just don't do
Yeah.
it. And then others have
Exactly.
the sacral, the sacral inner authority where your gut is talking to you. That's what I have. That's why I talk a lot about the gut. Like it felt off. So I'd love to hear from you, Dr. Z. Like, how do you practice your alignment?
Well, it's a mix of what you're saying, right? I love that. And also for me, it's also the purpose work because I function in both, right? So I need the I function through my gut, but I also do that process you're talking about as well. Because for that, which is part of my boundary work where I'm talking my limits, because sometimes my people pleaser wants to take over and respond right away. So sometimes, even though I naturally incline to the gut and all that, I still have to give myself that time to emotionally process because I want to, when someone sends me a message, respond right away and be there right away.
Do you
And
know what your human design is?
well, I don't remember it right now.
No? Okay.
I've
But
done it
you've drawn it
before.
before, yeah?
I've done
Okay.
it before and I love it. And for me, I still have to do that because yeah, I want to respond right away. And I have that problem like with WhatsApp, with this, because I want to be like I want to be there for everyone.
It's
But that's
probably an open
also
route. I'm gonna guess.
exactly. Yeah, no, for sure. And so I have to process that and I have to say, no, I'm not going to respond right away. And even as much as it is exciting, business life, anything, I have to take that time to process it and respond 2 days later. And it also could be emotionally good or bad, right? Even if someone's asking me, because now I also know my trigger from being past narcissist relationships and also people pleasers. Sometimes when people ask me for things like for free, I get triggered. And so, okay, I'm not gonna respond. I'm gonna see it through and respond in a way that's rational. So I do a little bit of both type of flows. I listen to my intuition of my past. What have I overcome? But then I also take that time that I don't need to respond right away. I don't need to like engage in this people pleasing thing as even if it's exciting or not exciting. I'm going to take a day or two to make sure it's aligned. And also like I always, my other form of alignment is really understanding the purpose and legacy, right? Because since I have that people pleasing tendency, is this aligned with the future I want to create with myself and my family? Is this aligned with the life that I want? Is this really my future? Because I also suffer from FOMO. I also suffer from shiny object syndrome, right? And so I have to stop myself. Is this really building the life I want? Is this really where I want to show up in the world every day and how I want to help people? Or is it that I'm like, oh, this is just super exciting and I'm getting on board again? So I use both of the practices. One to be like, okay, is it in my gut? Does this feel good? And then second, wait, let's do that check in those 2 days while I'm waiting. I do that exercise. Is this an alignment? Is this where I want to go? Is this an opportunity I want to take? Or even, is this something I want to help with if I'm being asked to help? Or should I just refer them to someone else and it's okay? But I have to take that time because also then it stops my mind from ruminating later to be like, oh, I should have taken it, or oh, I shouldn't have taken it, or all those things that's been in my mind. I have to take that time. So yeah, for me, it's both practices of also valuing what I want to be sought out for and what I don't want to be sought out for, and whether it feels good to me. So it's like a little bit of both.
I love that. I agree. And as you were talking, I was thinking, okay, this sounds very much like it makes sense, right? Like you can refer a client to another person. But what about a dating situation or even like a bestie comes along and you're like, oh, like you can't really refer them to be a friend with someone else. How do we, like from your own past experiences, how do we then maybe use lingo or draw that boundary with them that feels good? Because it's freaking scary to draw a boundary verbally with somebody.
Oh, it's really scary. But it's also the same thing where I tell people you don't have to respond right away. You can, even if they send it to you, I mean, it's much easier if they send it to you through text, right? Because then you don't have to respond right away and you don't have to say yes right away. You can take a day to sit on it. And the thing is, like, you have to think about, what am I worried about? I tell people to think about the root of it. If you don't want to do it, what are you worried about? Are you worried that the best friend's going to think you don't care about them anymore? Are you worried that you're going to hurt their feelings? Are you worried that you're going to let them down? Right, let's discuss the root of it. And then I have like these practice narratives in my book, like, okay, if it's about that you're scared to that you think your friendship's going to be ruined or you're going to hurt them, then you can respond with that exact thing. Like, I value our friendship. I love you as a friend. You know that? I know I think about that all the time, about how you've really impacted my life and all this stuff. You know, by the way, you know, I had been wanting to talk to you about this new thing I'm doing and talk about your aspirations and what you want to be sought out for. I'm working on this project, this thing. So, you know, I was hoping we could catch up about it one day in coffee. I'm really excited to share with you. But on that note, because I'm doing this new thing, you know, I won't be able to help you in X, but I really want to be there for you. And let's brainstorm together. Maybe we can find someone else that helps you or another solution, right? So you've addressed the root of it, right? If you're just worried about hurting them, well, then you send them a message that shows them that you care about them and that you're going to help them find a solution to this problem. But also, yeah, you're resetting expectations to them that, hey, this is not something I'm being sought out for. And of course, over time, what you want to build is setting new expectations with folks, right? Doing that work of, what do I want to be sought out for? How do I want to show up? And having these conversations with folks before they even make the ask. So then before you make the ask, you've already set new expectations on this is me now. And then if they ask you, you can be like, you've already set the new expectation, you'd be like, hey, do you remember when I was telling you about the other thing that I shared with you? It's not something I do anymore. But again, happy to help you find someone who does, right? But you're setting these new expectations. And it's having empathy for that friend, because maybe they've always known you to be that person that they go to for that. And if now you just realize you don't want to, you also got to help them with the transition. So you got to have starting these conversations and help them transition you out of that go-to person they have in their head and transition them to another method and model. It doesn't mean they're going to stop loving you. It's just that right now it's just, oh, I know someone who can, right? We all have that in our mind where we characterize people that we go to for certain things. And so it takes a little bit to transition folks. Again, this is assuming like your bestie's like your bestie and loves you and in a great, you know, thing.
Absolutely. Yeah, that makes sense. Setting up the expectation. So I think that's a big key also in that romantic relationship. I know it, the boundaries look different. Like when you're first dating,
Yes.
boundaries are actually pretty easy and straightforward because you're like, no, I'm not available, or I really think that, after serious consideration, I'd rather just be friends and then maybe not talk to them that often and like gradually let it evolve to where you don't talk to them at all. But it seems like when we don't say these things, it becomes like a stew And we get deeper and deeper and deeper, then all of a sudden we have to go no contact, or we have to abandon that person, or we have to be rescued out of an abusive relationship or go to a shelter. It's like if we had just said no at the beginning, the hard part, then you wouldn't have to do extremely hard things out of the deeper part. And I know that's easier said than done. I'm just kind of explaining observations of my own past.
No, it's so hard. I had such a history of this, dating and dysfunctionality. I mainly had it the people pleasing, right? I didn't know how to get out. And I worried not only that, but then it affects your social circles. And so a lot of times you don't want to get out because you're scared of losing your community, or you're scared of losing friends that are friends, or anything, right? And so sometimes I would stay in things just because I didn't want to lose access to their mother, or their circles, or the friends. So I wouldn't say anything. And even with dating, a lot of times I didn't know how to turn them down because it was the people, because I don't want to hurt them, I don't want to hurt them. But then it would create this whole cycle of people feeling like, oh, well, she hasn't told me no, so she still must be interested. Let me continue knocking on her door. And like you said, it's a whole stew. Well, instead, if we're clear on this is what I bring to the table, this is what I'm looking for, which is why, like, I think I centered my whole work around like knowing who you are and your purpose, what you bring, because if you bring that to the table from front, it's almost like you can say at any time when you don't feel that alignment to be like, hey, I think we're going in different directions, and this is, I mean, from the first conversations, I told you this is where I want to go in my future. And it's not in alignment, but hey, we can still be, if you still want to be friends, but I need to find someone who wants to go in the same direction as me, which I said when we first met, right? And so you've already created that expectation up front. That's so a lot of my like work is like really like if you can just create that up front, it makes if you want to leave really easy, because then the person's like, you know what, she did tell me that from the beginning. And if they don't understand, you're at least confident in that going, well, I don't want to waste their time or my time. And that's actually being kind, right? Because we're always like, we don't want to be unkind. But if you are phrase it that way, like I'm actually giving them room to find someone who's in alignment with them that is kind, because I'm also giving them space to find someone who's for them.
That's such a powerful narrative shift, because for so long in my mind and my body, I always felt like, but I'm like being mean, and by not doing whatever they want or spending time with them or talking to them. But it's really not being mean, like your quote in your book said. It's actually being unkind by like forcing each other in this misalignment relationship where they're missing opportunities with somebody who really is more in alignment with them.
Exactly.
And dealing with a narcissist, maybe it's just another narcissist, but it's like it's not you. You're not going to let
Exactly.
them abuse you anymore, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And they have to do their own and healing. And you're also not responsible for that either.
Yes. I stayed way too long because I thought that first of all, I thought the problem was me. And then the other problem was like I saw how much in pain he was, and that I just wanted to be there for him, and I loved him, and I wanted to figure out, I don't know, like I guess just to continue to be there, to be a support system. But you cannot be a support system when you are being drained and when you are being abused. Therefore, yeah, it just doesn't work.
And if they don't want to work on it themselves, because I thought for me that was the key thing. It's knowing the difference of someone who just wants to, like, just doesn't want to do anything about it, right? And doesn't want to. And we always want to do something, so we're there for support, but the narcissist doesn't, right? And then when you try to get them to work on it, that's when the narcissist gets injured, and that's when everything spirals. And so that's the key difference, I think, like knowing that sign.
Yes. And that goes back to our black and white conversation at the very
Yep.
beginning, which I had this like question, this burning question this whole time about the black and white. Like, we think we're dealing with someone who just needs to shift, needs to grow out of it. But how do we know the difference between them growing out of it and them just being fixed? Like, they're not going to change.
But it's key difference, right? Because they're black and white, they're making judgments, right? They're not being open to the gray that exists, right? They're saying this is right and this is wrong. And once you hear someone saying my way is the only way, or what was that person, or how they refer to other people too, and how they're like, oh, that person, what they did was wrong, and that judgment, that's when you're like, wait, if you're not able to look at the gray, because it's looking at ourselves, right? We as empaths look at the gray. We see the complexity in life. And so when we see something, we're like, wait, no, but they could have had reasons for that. I don't, you know, it's like even if someone did something as society would say is wrong, we're still like, well, maybe. Even, you know, even like I mean, think about our own lenses, right? When I look at somebody who may be in the criminal system, I'm like, well, maybe they experienced some trauma. I mean, it's how we see the narcissist, right? We see them being mean, but we're like, oh, but they experienced some trauma. So let me help them get through it. They just lashed out on me because they had that thing happen to them in childhood. But they don't have that lens towards other people, right? They're seeing us as, oh, well, you did this and that was wrong. You have this vulnerability, like in my case, I have this serious phobia to vomit. I know it's very odd. And I've tried to get help and done all these treatments and it's gone, I've managed it, but that was thrown in my face constantly from the narcissist, right? No sympathy for it. It's like you have this thing and it is wrong. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm going for treatments. It's something that happened in my childhood and doing these things. And it was just like, nope, wrong. That is your sign. If the person's not willing to be like, see the full complexity and holistic being of a person, then you know they're not open to growth. And then when they go to, because some do go to therapy, some will go, but won't be fully honest. If you don't see them there actually doing the work and really introspecting and wanting to heal from the trauma they've experienced, they're not willing to grow. And you see that almost immediately. It took me years to push. I remember the narcissist relationship I was in to go to, okay, I need us to go to therapy more and deal with this thing. And once after three sessions, he quit. And I was like, I should have done this from year one. Because it was when they pushed to be like, okay, you gotta unpack this. Nope. And that's when you see it. It's when they get if they're not willing, while a person who's not a narcissist is willing to, it's hard work. It's hard work to heal. It's hard work to push through. It's doing that exercise that if they're not willing, then either way, that's either, you know, toxic or narcissist, then you can't move forward because we all have to heal from our things to move forward. And that's red flag right there. Because we do all have traumas, but if someone's not willing to work on it, then that's always going to be there, and you're never going to move and advance together.
And that is how we heal and evolve is through relationships. So they will constantly be or feel assaulted because something will come up. There'll be a conflict. There'll be something that needs to be worked on, talked through. And they're like, no. And then that's why we're always talking about the gaslighting and the pushing off the
Exactly.
responsibility. That's just part of being in a relationship is growth. So if you don't want to grow, then all you're doing is using that person for whatever you want. And the other person's gotta run, get out of Dodge, because that is the most toxic situation. I mean, you can't expect a relationship to not have any of that. Like, it just exists. That's just how it is on Earth.
Exactly. And now, and you know, and both of us know now being in healthy relationships that when somebody wants to grow with you, they want to grow. They want to grow on things together. They want to heal from their past. They want to grow together and visionize, you know, do visions together and celebrate you. And it does exist. And I think that's also like narratives in our society, you know, that I really challenge is that you know, all these narratives that we have is, oh, well, you have to be married by X age, or oh, but he's a good guy and he meets the check marks, or a good woman, and you have to stay with them because they are great on paper. You're not going to find better, right? All these narratives that people tell us, we also have to wash away. You can meet the person that's for you, that's aligned with your legacy purpose. He or she is out there. So you have to also go into abundance mindset that you do not have to settle for this. There are billions of people in this world. There's communities, digital everywhere. You can have what you want. So don't think this is, oh, well, no one's perfect. Oh, I used to hear that all the time. And
No one's perfect.
those limiting beliefs that it's true, no one is perfect, but that doesn't mean that you have to then settle for like someone who doesn't want to grow at all.
Well, I feel
And
like that's an
yeah.
excuse. Like, I heard that
Yes.
all the time, and I heard myself say that. And I was like, oh crap, I got to rewrite that neuron. Like, I'm not going to use that phrase as an excuse with my children because I did something out of a reaction that hurt them. Like, no. I've got to apologize. I've got to address it. And I say, okay, moving forward, I'm not going to do that. That's the healthy
Exactly.
way versus the excuse is like, well, nobody's perfect. Like, come on, you think I'm going to be perfect all the time? Like, that's exactly how narcissism doesn't take responsibility and change.
Right. And so the action is really important. And that's what I mean about the growth, right? Are they actively growing? Are they actively reflecting? Are they actively changing? And if they're not, red flag out the door, right? And that's with anything. And even like in a work life partner, family member. And that's why those narratives of keeping us in these things, we got to get rid of them. We got to instead find if not, it's better to be alone and not either have a client, have that relationship, business relationship, or not have a relationship with that family member. It's better to have then other ones, create other alignment of people who are going to champion you, support you, grow with you, admit their mistakes and do better, right? Because we're always going to welcome people who are like, hey, I messed up, but you know what? Next time I'm going to do better. How do you think I could do things better? That's what we want. That's who we want to be with. And guess what? You can be with that. There's so many great people in this world, and but we have to be willing to exit out. And I think if all of us make that big intention of not settling and like really like if we keep like I love what you're doing your podcast, right? We keep like getting out of these situations, then maybe narcissists will go get help, right? Because they're not gonna have pe they're gonna have people empowered to be like, no. Right. And educated from a young age. Like I wish I would have been armed with this information younger and been like, no, and not had these narratives that I had to settle.
That
Yeah.
is the ultimate. I still feel like there's multiple more generations to come because I'm doing that exact same thing with my daughter. And sometimes I feel like the school system's policy is still within that narrative that teaches all the kids just to put up with crap and not draw the boundaries. And it's like, no. You are still nice, even though you're drawing a boundary. It's like, oh, well, I'm not being nice. Like they say, play with everybody. It's like, no, if she makes you feel uncomfortable, you are 100%, green light that you don't have to play with her. And I will have a conversation with whomever I have to at the school for you to support you with that. Like, I'm not just gonna let the school system also like make you condition to put up with abuse and crap and whatever.
Exactly. I know I had a similar situation with my daughter where there was some kids telling her to do their homework because she's like the top student, right? But she also has the people-pleasing tendency, and I had to sit with her and go, "You doing their homework is not going to bring you the unconditional love you're seeking, right? Or the real support and champions you're seeking. If they're really your friend and support you, you doing stuff thing for them is that's not what's going to bring you love and kindness, right? And so you can just be like, it's hard though, right? It was hard for her to say, I can't, or it's not even that she felt like that way
No.
because she was like, I can. So how do I, how I can do it? It's part of that same conversation. Yes, I can do it. But I'm
Right.
like, yeah, but again, I rephrased it to her. Are you really benefiting them? If they don't do it, are they going to really learn the material? Are they really going to advance in school? Or are you just enabling then a behavior that's going to hurt them long term? And I think it's her twisting it that it's actually, again, not going to be kind by saying yes and being like, and I'm actually going to be doing you a disservice for her to then have that courage. But this stuff is still happening to our kids, and they still, even as kids, are already looking. People are looking for those personalities they can gravitate to of, ooh, well, I can get this person to do X for me. And so even since a child, you know, like that's, I already do these exercises with her, empowering her of being like, this is your value add. That's not going to bring you closer to people. And just, you can even answer, you know, I told her she likes to be funny. I'm like, you could be funny back and be like, no, I can't do that for you. Come on. I know you're just joking. Like, bring it back to them, like in a way that feels natural to her of doing it, and just step away. Don't engage anymore. And that's like a limit. Yeah.
And find that as like, okay, well, maybe, like you said, step away and find other friends, like meet new friends, find other friends to hang out
Exactly.
with, and start to slowly distance yourself if they're not respecting that and still hounding her to do their homework.
Exactly.
Oh my
And the
gosh.
best thing from a narcissist is distance.
Yep. How do you win with a narcissist? You don't play.
Exactly.
I love it. That's from Dr. Romney. That's not mine, you guys. It's not my original
Love it.
quote. But and the last quote I'm going to share with you before we close out is from her book, Never Apologize for Your Boundaries. They are essential for your well-being.
They don't, because they're not, it's, you're not doing something that's not that's unkind. You're not hurting anyone, right? You're just following your true self and what you bring out to the world and what you can do, and you're not really doing, helping them, especially if you don't want to do it. So the more you see it that way, the more you realize, I don't have to apologize for anything. I'm not doing anything wrong. All I'm doing is reorienting the person to go to somebody else.
When
I
you did
just
your
kind of did it
hands
with my
there, I
hands.
was like reorienting the energy also, right? The
Yeah.
alignment. Yes, I love that.
Yeah, and giving space for new stuff. So even, you know, and that applies relationships, work, life, even in the workforce. I used to tell my team, don't write an email that says a starting with I'm sorry. No, there's nothing to say I'm sorry. Say, because the same thing happens, right, in the workforce, to be like, people will dump you work. And I was like, you don't have to say sorry. You can just say, thank you for thinking of me. Thank you for thinking of all the great things that I could help you with, whatever. But at this time, I'm working on XYZ, and I don't have the bandwidth for that, or, you know, I'm not really seeking those type of opportunities, but thank them. That's it. You don't have to say, I'm sorry, I can't help you, or none of that, because you've done nothing wrong, right? Nothing. It's just, you just, that's just not in alignment with you, where you want to do in that moment.
Powerful. Thank you. No.
Yeah.
you.
Or
No.
thank you next, because next, because more opportunities will come that
Exactly.
are for you.
Dr. Z, this is amazing. I really appreciate you being here and sharing your wisdom with us on the podcast. Share with us where we can connect with you and any offerings that you'd like to share.
Yeah, no, thank you so much. I'm on Be, Act, Change. So my whole thing's like, be yourself, act, right? Do all these actions, and then we can together change the world. And so I have an Instagram that's like a lot more like the fun reels and stuff. And then I'm on LinkedIn, and, you know, and I have my website, beactchange.com. And then I have my book, Creating Your Limitless Life, helps you, you know, identify your true purpose, you know, get all this tool set in you that helps you with all of this, right? Boundaries, limits, knowing your value add to the world, because we all have it. And our uniqueness, like you said. So I have it on Kindle right now for 99 cents, the book and the workbook. You know, I really just want, for me, this is about changing the world. So if you want to like do these exercises, the workbook guides you through the whole thing, how to do your legacy, knowing what you are, creating those boundary limits, knowing what you want to be sought out for, making those vision boards, all of it. So yeah, that's out there for everyone.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. And at the end, I wrote a review for your book as well. So
Oh, thank you.
I know how important that is. So everyone,
Yes.
when you read it, review her book. And when you read
I
mine,
love that.
review, right?
Yes.
Write a review for my book.
Yes, you also have an amazing book. So
Thank
this is great.
you. Yeah. I
Awesome.
really appreciate you being here. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, listener. Thank you.
Oh gosh, what a conversation with Dr. Z. I truly felt so empowered. I felt like the narrative shifts from fear of drawing boundaries into really being empowered and actually being helpful in drawing boundaries. I love that that narrative shift, I felt it within me. So I hope that you felt it within you too. Calling all empaths on your healing journey. If you haven't joined the newsletter already, feel free to do so by grabbing any of the free offerings, the workshop, your human design chart, and also the boundaries workshop that I've created. If you subscribe and write a review to either of my books, Empath's Guide to Rising Strong and Empath and the Narcissist, I will give three lucky subscribers a 2-hour human design reading coaching session valued at $500. And I will also send you a signed paperback copy of my newest book, Empath's Guide to Rising Strong. You will need to do this before March 30th in order to enter to win these two offerings. So help me write a review and continue to share the love and share the empowerment. You can read the free Empath's Guide to Rising Strong ebook in the link in the description. And on that note, I would love to share with you a review. This book came to me recently during a very difficult time in my life, and it was an absolute godsend. I'm so very grateful for this book and the author. It's actually an amazing book and very well written and put together. It's a long and detailed, packed reading, but it's interesting, it's informative, and it goes very quickly. My favorite part about this book is how it makes me feel. I finally feel heard and understood after a whole lifetime of feeling the opposite. Thank you so much, Carolina. Thank you so much for listening and subscribing to this podcast. Please help us grow and reach more survivors that are seeking spiritual growth by sharing this and tagging me at Empath of the Narcissist Podcast on Instagram. You can even send it via text. However you want to share it, you go share away. And don't forget to subscribe. Hey, if you're feeling extra generous, please write a review to the podcast. This really does help in social proof. We're up to 100 reviews. I never thought I'd ever see that number. So thank you so much for that. So speaking of ads and offerings, you can dive deeper with me through my first book, Empath and the Narcissist. It is a profound exploration of my story, my healing journey, and a whole bunch of different elements that I've discovered on my healing path to help you heal from narcissistic abuse and empower you. So you can also listen to that on Audible. My second book is a new book, baby. It is Empath's Guide to Rising Strong. And you can grab your paperback of that human design guidebook. And as always, we'll see you tomorrow in an episode. Remember, always keep your unique light shining.